Donald. We're supposed to be starting this week a series on the I Am Sayings of Christ, but next week is Remembrance Day. The following Sunday morning I'm not preaching, and it will be such a big gap between one sermon and the next. I thought I would offer two one-off sermons, and this morning I would like us to focus on two verses of the passage read, 2 Timothy 3, very famous verses 16 and 17. It will be projected for those of you that are not used to reading from a Bible on your lap. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can we pray, please? Please bless the preaching of this word, Lord. Oh, Father, we know that you work differently from the ways of this world. You speak, Lord, in things sometimes conceived of as foolish by this world. You sometimes reveal your greatest power in weakness. You, Lord, sometimes choose to speak to people who others would not speak to. O Holy Spirit, manifest your glory this morning through this well-known passage of Scripture. Amen. October the 31st. What is that day? If you say Halloween, you're going to... Reformation Day. Last week we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Great Reformation. On Tuesday, the 31st of October, the worldwide Protestant Church remembered the great beginnings of the Reformation. Now, some of you may be wondering, what am I talking about? What Reformation? You may be thinking, hey, listen, Reformation Day is one thing, but forget that. What do I mean by Reformation? Well, this morning I'm going to put you in the picture. This church that you're sitting in right now is a reformed church. We're a church that stands on the principles of the Reformation that took place 500 years ago. We believe in this church that if you want to live a true Christian life, you have to live by the principles that were re-established at the Reformation. So, what is this Reformation that people are always going on about? What is a Reformed Christian? What is a Reformed church? It's a very important question. And it's such an important question that I'd like to use this anniversary as an opportunity to preach a special sermon defining the Reformation and the challenge it is for you today. And I hope to do it in such a simple way that you won't forget what I'm going to say. Why is it such an important thing that we need to know the Reformation? Well, by the end of this message, I hope you will realize how important what I'm going to say is. So let me start at the beginning. What was this Reformation? What happened in church history that made the Reformation come about? What's it all about? You always hear about Reformation. Let me put it this way. Reformation was a time in history when the church rediscovered the Bible. Reformation was a time when the church rediscovered the Bible. Now you may say, what? The church rediscovered the Bible? Are you telling me the Bible got lost or something? Yes, I am saying that. There was a time in history, for about 1,000 years of church history, when the church actually lost the Bible. Let me explain how that happened. We all know, well, you should know, the church, according to the Apostle Paul, is built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, the bringers and the writers of God's word. The early church was based upon the Bible. In fact, if you just read the book of Romans or the book of Hebrews, for an example, you will see that everything said is backed up constantly by scriptures. Scriptures are quoted everywhere in the apostles' writings. You see, everything the church believed, preached, and practiced was Bible-based. As we read in our text behind me, Scripture was used in the church to teach, rebuke, correct, train in righteousness. As we read here, all Scripture was used for every good work. But you know, as the years went by in history, the church lost the Bible. After the first 300 years of church history, the church began to lose the Bible. This really happened. Now you may say, well, how on earth did this happen? It happened like this. The main language of the world in those days was the Latin language, the language of the ancient Romans. You know the Romans ruled the world, don't you? Roman Empire? Well, around 350... the Roman government took over the church, pretty much. And they made a law, and their law was this. The scriptures could only be written and read and preached in Latin. Well, you can imagine what happened. Many people could not understand the Latin language. So they'd come to church and the Bible would be read and prayers would be prayed, and most people didn't know what on earth was going on because most people couldn't speak Latin. And eventually Latin became a dead language, and even the priests couldn't properly understand the language of Latin. But the church carried on reading the Bible in Latin, teaching Latin scriptures, preaching in Latin. Most people came to church, went through the motions, didn't have a clue what was going on. Well, you can imagine, it was confusing, and eventually, over time, the church forgot the Bible and began to follow traditions, superstitions, and rituals that were made up by men in the church because they didn't have a Bible to guide them. You see, the Bible was suffocated in the Latin language. By the year 1500, the message of the Bible was almost forgotten by the masses of people. The Bible was lost to an unknown Latin language. But then, the Reformation happened. And it happened for two main reasons. Firstly, the printing press was invented. They invented printing, so books could be printed and distributed. And great men of God were raised up. Men like Luther, Martin Luther, and William Tyndale. And they translated the Bible into the language of the people. And they printed thousands of Bibles so people could read God's word for themselves in their own language. And the result was amazing. Can you imagine reading in your own language the word of God for the first time? And when people read the Bible, they discovered amazing things. They discovered that God loved them. They'd never heard that before. They discovered that salvation is possible even for sinners through faith in Jesus Christ. They discovered that there was hope for the most wretched sinner. They discovered free grace. People began to read the Bible for themselves because the Bible had been given to them in their own language. Do you know, within one generation, half of Europe had broken with the Roman Church and had formed new churches based on the Bible. And do you know what? Thousands and thousands and thousands of people were converted to Christ through faith in the Word. There was an unprecedented revival in Europe. One person put it like this. When the Bible was rediscovered, the lights came on in Europe. It was like the light came on. People got their Bible back. Now, please don't tell me that you don't think the Reformation is an important thing to talk about. Surely there's nothing more important in the church than knowing you've got your Bible. The Reformation was the time when the lost Bible was rediscovered and the church became Bible-based again. That's why it's called Reformation. It was formed when Christ sent the Spirit on the church, but it lost the Bible, and it was reformed when the Bible was rediscovered. Now, you may say, but hold on, what's the big deal about this Bible anyway? Why can't we just serve God with the Holy Spirit? And, you know, why do we need the Bible? I need to make this clear. Everything you need to know about God, everything you need to know about yourself, everything you need to know about how to live and how to die before God is found in one place only. In the Bible, you have to know the Bible to know the mind of God. We read in our text, all scripture is God-breathed. That's theopneustos. It means that God livingly communicates. He breathes out his very communication to you in one place only, in this book. That's the big deal. Let me put it this way. If you lose your Bible, you lose contact with God. And you're subject to superstition and false religion. The Bible is your living contact with a God who speaks to you. Now, can you imagine what it was like for 1,000 years when the Bible was lost? Imagine the darkness. People living by superstition and ritual. The Reformation is the time when the church was set free and given its Bible back. Who can say whoopee for the Reformation? All right, now, you may say, but that was 500 years ago. What's the big deal now? We've got Bibles. We don't read Latin anymore. We don't need the Reformation now, do we? I mean, people have Bibles on their iPhones. There are Bibles everywhere in so many different versions. Well, I believe we need the revival. In fact, I'll make this very clear. I would say in the 21st century, we're in a desperate need of another revival, another reformation of the Word of God. We need the Reformation to happen again. Why, you may say, we've got Bibles now. We've got easy translations. Anybody can read the Bible in their own language. Why do we need another Reformation? Let me tell you why. 500 years ago, the Bible was a closed book because of the Latin language. People couldn't read the Bible. In those days, people could not read the Bible. Nowadays, in our days of information and mass media, the problem is not that people cannot read the Bible, but people are not bothered to read it anymore. We're living in an age of bits of information and flicking from channel to channel, and people have stopped searching the scriptures. Now you may say, oh come on, I'm being judgmental now. How can you say that generally people are not bothered to read their Bibles? I'll even go so far as to say Latin's not the problem nowadays. It's laziness. Laziness is the problem, and it's taken the Bible away from the church. We're speed readers. We're bit readers on the YouTube and all the rest of it. Let me give you an example of why I say that. And I'm giving you one example. It could have been many other examples. And this person, you don't know. He's way over the other side of the world, so I'm not talking behind anyone's back that you know. I know somebody. You know The Lord of the Rings? That big fat book of about 1,000 pages, Tolkien's book? I've got a friend who knows The Lord of the Rings back to front. He knows he's read it so many times he can tell you the chapters, what happens in the chapters, who the heroes are, what the plot is, all the subplots. He's a geek on Lord of the Rings. You know, Frodo Baggins and Samwise Ganges and Gandalf and all that. He knows it all. You can catch him out, he knows anything. But, and he's a churchgoer, if you have to say, find the book of Obadiah, he'll spend half an hour searching for it. He doesn't know how to find the book of Obadiah. He struggles to explain how the Old Testament is related to the New and how you can prove that from Scripture. He doesn't really know how to find verses in the Bible. Now, he's not a stupid person. He's an educated, well-read person. But he doesn't know his Bible. He depends on the professionals to tell him what the Bible says. He depends on, what's that, Wikipedia? And Google and, you know, professionals. And they're the ones that tell him what the Bible's all about. He doesn't read the Bible. Now, he knows all about Gandalf and Frodo Baggins, and he can tell you how clever he is with the depth he's read that book. But here's a regular churchgoer. He cannot find his way around the Bible or argue his faith from the scriptures for himself. And when I say that, I know lots of people like that. They know all what's going on in EastEnders and who characters are and who's going out with who and who's dropped who. But they don't know how to find the book of Obadiah or what Obadiah's even about. And I'd like to say laziness, not Latin, is the problem in our modern churches. The average churchgoer flicks through a portion of scripture once a day for a quiet time, and then they'll read it, not for the finding of God, but for personal sort of application for what this means for me at the moment. They'll hear a preaching of scripture once a week, maybe, if they come to church once. They'll come to Bible studies, and that's the limit of their study of the Bible, most people. I would like to say most people I know do not passionately search the scriptures, expecting prayerfully to find God in them. In fact, I will probably be shot in the back for saying this, but I'm going to say it because I'm compelled to say it. The modern church is a disgrace to the reformers. Those men lived and died to make the Bible available for us to read and to discover God in it. And if we're honest, many of us have not bothered in all the life and all the opportunities we've had to study the scriptures to know what God is saying. And listen, it doesn't matter whether you read well or not. We can hear the scriptures. We need to get the word of God into our hearts personally. I'll say it one more time. 500 years ago, Latin is what kept the Bible away from the Christian church. Nowadays, in many cases, it is pure disinclination, pure laziness. We let professionals tell us what the Bible's saying. We'll have devotional books to make other people think for us and apply the Bible to our situations. When last did you prayerfully, systematically, expectantly mine in the scriptures, expecting God to meet you there and speak to you there? You may say, but the Bible's such a complicated book. Come on, it's such a big book. It's so technical. It takes so much, you know, discipline to learn it. How can I be expected to know the Bible? You know, the question really is not, can I read the Bible? Because I promise you, you can. If you're a born-again Christian, you can understand the Bible. The question is, are you really bothered to read it in the busyness of your life? Or has it sort of become a trivial matter? You know, as long as the professionals are telling you what it says, and as long as they keep feeding you, then you don't need to find the meanings in the depth for yourself. If you're a born-again Christian, I'm going to give you three quick reasons why you've got no excuse for digging into that Bible and living in it and getting Bible literate again. Because I know that many people are not Bible literate. They repeat what they're told. They haven't found it for themselves, which you must. Firstly, God has given you, brother, sister, in this church, teachers who have been called and sent by God to help you and equip you in your reading of the Bible for yourself. We're here to get you to think biblically and read biblically. Use the church for what God gave it for, to equip you to have a living relationship with God through his word. Secondly, the same Holy Spirit that wrote this Bible, Christian, is in your heart. He is able to interpret the Bible for you and help you to understand it. Don't believe the devil when he says you'll never understand it. The Spirit will illuminate your reading if you're born again. And thirdly, most importantly, Jesus Christ himself made a promise. And that promise is this: those who seek will find. He can't break his promise. If you really want to know God, you're only going to find him in this book, and people can't do it for you. You have to search the scriptures for yourself by the Spirit's illumination to meet this God who speaks. If you really want to meet God for yourself and not have a second-hand, hand-me-down religion where you're just parroting what you think everyone's saying you're saying, then you've got to read the Bible for yourself. You've got to get back to this Bible. And as I said, the problem, I believe, is plain in disinclination. Nowadays, we're so busy. We've got so much to do, so many activities, that really spending, unthinkable, an hour prayerfully searching God's word for his truth to speak to you is something so seldom done. And there are many people who, honestly, I know, and it frightens me, but it's my job to tell you these things if you will listen. I know people that have been coming to church for years, but they don't know what the significance Isaiah has to the crucifixion of Christ. They'll look blankly when you say. They don't know what the message of Obadiah is. They don't know the relationship between the Old and the New Testament with scriptural proofs. And those are basic things. 500 years ago, the church woke up and it realized it had lost its Bible. It realized it had been smothered in the Latin language, and they gave the Bible back to the people, and the church blew into new life. It blossomed into Reformation. Nowadays, sadly, We've got Bibles, sometimes too many Bibles. There are 5 or 6 Bibles in most of your homes, aren't there? Bibles on your iPhones, different versions, you know, different languages. And yet, we're not reading it the way our forefathers did. Do you know our forefathers, most of them were peasants, unless you're blue-blooded here today. Most of us, 100 years ago, had forefathers who read their Bibles and that's all they could read. But they taught their children the word before everything, anything else. I'm convinced that we desperately need a second reformation. We need to get our Bible back in us, back in our church, back in our heads, because that is important, and back in our hearts. We need to become Bible literate again and not just read little bits that we think we're supposed to be reading. But let me close. You're going to get all this again, far more flowery, next Sunday night. One of the greatest theologians of all time, a man that I believe God used profoundly in the church, was a man called Augustine of Hippo. He lived about 1,700 years ago in North Africa. And his testimony goes like this. Augustine was a very gifted, intelligent man who was searching for God. He knew his science, he knew his philosophy, he knew his mathematics, but he could not find God. And his main struggle in life was, where do I find the living God? He went to temples, he went to different religions, and he traveled the Roman world, he read the best books, he studied under the most famous preachers of his time, but he couldn't find this God. One day, the crunch came. He was in the garden of a friend of his. I think it was in Milan. And in the garden, he was on his own. And he, in frustration, suddenly stood up and shouted at the top of his voice, God, where can I find you? And God's got strange ways of working. In a distant garden, he couldn't see where, but in a distant garden, he heard the voice of a little child saying repeatedly these words, tole lege, tole lege, tole lege. That's Latin. Take up and read. Take up and read. Well, he didn't know where the voice was coming from, but then he looked down on the table in front of him and there was a book. He picked it up. Remember, books were handwritten in those days. And it was the Epistle to the Romans, St. Paul. And he just started reading it. And as he read the words, I think it was chapter 14, the Holy Spirit spoke into his heart and he was born again. He heard God speak to him through those words. And he became one of the greatest leaders in Africa. He became a bishop in North Africa. And his life's ambition was to make people realize if you're going to meet God, you'll meet him in the Word and nowhere else. You need to understand that. It's not mystical experiences. It's not nice atmospheres in churches. God must speak to you as he spoke the universe into existence. He must speak spiritual life. It's the Word that gives life. And my challenge to you on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation is this. Please, don't settle for hand-me-down religion. Don't depend on all these clever guys on YouTube and, you know, and it's telling you what the Bible's saying. Read for yourself, because it's in reading the Bible that you will meet the speaking God. Let's just pray. Oh, in Jesus' name, please give us our Bibles back, Lord. But I mean, give them back to our hearts. Please, may we once again, Lord, hunger for your word. Read it systematically, prayerfully, expectantly. And may you, as we seek you, learn great and mighty things that we knew nothing of. Oh, Father, speak again to your church. Forgive us for neglecting your Bible, the Book of Life. Father, we praise you for the Reformation. We praise you for those many men, even Tyndale of our own country, who was burned alive simply because he gave the Bible to the people. Oh God, help us to appreciate this amazing book again. For Christ's sake, amen.